Warning. This podcast contains strong language and immature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Let's get down to business.
Welcome to the Lonely Hearts Podcasts. Here we have Mike, Fern, and Bast, and Marty, and bye.
No, that's a good introduction, because that's what this is.
That's all, folks.
Welcome to the Lonely Hearts Romance Comics Podcast. This is episode 10.
Ooh,
we've made it to
10.
Double digits!
This is where we sell out!
That's a milestone.
Don't tap the table. Okay, so this episode, we're calling it The Tomboy Mystique, which isn't about Mystique from the X-Men.
She isn't a tomboy.
She kind of is.
She can be whatever she wants.
She's athletic.
She's athletic. She's transformed into a man a few times.
Gymnasts are athletic, but they're not tomboys.
I think I saw her chop wood once.
We're going to be talking about that particular phenomenon. What is it about tomboys, or what isn't it? It's possible that's not your thing. First off, I'd like to just preface it with what tomboy means.
What does it mean? I know what a peeping Tom is. I've been called that many times.
Well, the word Tom is actually
the name of a boy.
It is the name of a boy.
Yes. So Tom is a boy. So tomboy.
Well, originally, a Tom
was... Case solved.
Tom meant a rude and boisterous boy.
Oh, okay.
It's a regular boy's name. Mm-hmm. And then, so anyone could be a Tom. Like a Tomcat is a male cat. So it just means male.
So a rude and boisterous cat.
A rude and boisterous cat.
And call that a Tomcat and not a Garfield.
So Tomcat,
so
was
Tomcat
a
comes from that.
Movie.
Peeping Tom comes from that. Tom, Dick, and Harry. Tom's in there. He's a generic male.
Okay.
So a tomboy should be a male. A male boy.
So it's a double male girl?
Well, it came into usage in the...
Two negatives make a positive.
It came into usage in the late 16th century to denote girls that acted like boys, or girls that had boysy interests. And it was a trend at the time. It was actually a trend.
16th century?
Yep.
Yeah.
The 1500s.
Yeah.
Wow.
When we were kids.
You know. 1500s, so girls having boys' interests. So what, like working in a coal mine, or...
Coal mines are way later, Fern.
No, I'm pretty sure they were...
No, coal wasn't used in the 1500s.
Okay, an iron mine.
Yeah, sure.
We were at least in the Iron Age.
Well, I was
right
thinking
there.
Fishing and...
fishing. Know, threshing wheat.
But, well, little girls, before they hit puberty, you know, were indistinguishable from boys.
Could be.
It could be.
You know, so you've got a lot of people working on a farm. Some girls are doing what would be called boys' chores, possibly.
Right. And a lot of lice back then, so people just shaved heads.
Just, you know, just enough
sackcloth. That is a very strange version of the 16th century.
It is, I don't know.
Enough sackcloth, pants, and dirt on the face.
Right.
Are you a boy, are you a girl?
I'm not the historian over here.
Yeah.
Marty is.
Yeah, I
What's
know.
Your historian take on this?
On tomboys? I've never studied that subject.
Well, that's a master's in the making. So, tomboy-ishness was very often historically a trend. So it was a trend in the 1600s, so they coined a name for it.
Okay.
In the late 1800s, it became a trend for girls to wear pants.
Okay, so somebody brought Tomboy back.
And okay. there was like a horse of thought.
There was
a carriage of thought. There was a carriage of thought that it was good for a girl's development to explore gender, if you will,
okay.
between the ages of 18 and 14.
Wow, that's very progressive, actually.
That was like the early feminist.
We kind of regressed since then.
Thinkings.
Yeah. Wow.
And then, we regressed because of Freud, who, after Freud, everybody started panicking that
penises were everywhere.
Well, that tomboyishness would lead to lesbianism.
Okay.
And then freak out!
Well, he was high on coke. What does he know?
Yeah, so...
Not much.
But we've all... It's something that's always existed, and I think...
Okay, yeah. I think it's natural.
Girls don't need to be girly, and... So today, where gender identification is a whole different thing, and...
Do we have a word for, like, girly guys?
Girly guys.
Tom girls?
Metrosexuals?
It's not Tom. It can't be Tom.
Oh, metrosexuals. They're just guys who care about their appearance.
Nancy?
Jane girls.
A Nancy guy?
Nancy boys.
Nancy boys. Nancy boys, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's more of a pejorative than tomboy is.
Well, since we're, it's a patriarchy, and we don't have that kind of word.
No, we don't.
We don't need it.
We don't need it because it doesn't exist.
Because I can wear a dress and nobody judges me.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know what?
We don't do that.
The Pope wears a dress and no one judges him.
Well, I could correct
you. Except for God.
I could correct you, but I'm not gonna, but okay.
Highlanders, that's what we call them.
Yeah.
The Pope is a Highlander?
Well, there can only be just one.
No, Highlanders.
One Pope. That's how they do it.
They used to fight to the death. Yeah. They used to. I mean, Freud said that.
Could you imagine, like, what? Could you imagine two popes fighting and then the one gets decapitated and that hat goes with the head?
Popes never fought. What are you guys talking about?
That's what you think.
What about when there were two popes?
What about the one with two popes? They hated each other.
They never put them in the ring together?
No.
And the lady pope that nobody acknowledges.
Poperdome.
There can be only one.
Yeah, but she did nothing. She was just a lady.
I know nothing of the lady. Was she a tomboy?
She was a Tom Pope.
Tom Pope.
So she was a Pope boy.
Right.
So two popes enter, one pope leaves.
I'm just going to clarify. I said the lady poop did. Lady poop.
Lady poop.
No, the lady poop didn't.
I don't know about the lady. Keep saying I just heard that.
The lady pope, didn't do anything, but no pope did anything.
Exactly.
Jean Paul II had dudes breakdance in front of him.
The
so
Pope,
I think that's very pro.
The Pope is
passive activity.
The Pope is literally like God's mailman. Like that's his role. It's like I am the voice of God.
That's what he does.
He's the post mailman.
Mail.
First notice.
And half the time, he only
second
brings
notice.
Us
final notice. Overdue.
The only thing the Pope has brought us is bills.
Hey, listeners.
Hot take on religion.
Well, no, this is what being a French-Canadian...
Exactly.
We're all Catholic. We've all spurned our religions.
We're all salty about the Pope.
Yeah, we're all...
He never comes here.
We're all baptized and none of us go to church. That is what being French-Canadian is all about.
Actually, that's just Roman Catholic.
And if my mom is listening... No, it's not true. I go to church every Sunday.
You know what? I think John Mulaney, the stand-up comic, said it best. You know, I'm Catholic, so basically I'm atheist.
So there you go. That's us. And so let's get back to the less papal...
Yeah, back to the tomboys. The tomboys.
In general. So obviously this podcast is progressive, despite...
Well, it's progressive while being regressive at the same time. Yeah.
It's progressive in the sense that we don't judge anyone on their gender identification.
Nope.
You can be a...
We judge them on their powers.
You can be a girly girl or a tomboy or someone that has been both.
Yeah.
And that's true whether you're a boy or a girl.
Yeah, we don't really care.
No.
Yeah.
But what is it about... Well, I'll ask you guys. Tomboys. Whether when we were teenagers or now, does that inflame any passions? Bath.
Actually, you know what? I have a theory on tomboys.
A theory?
I have a theory.
They're actually werewolves.
It's not a theory. It's observation. Most of the tomboys I grew up with, because I'm from rural New Brunswick, they all became really beautiful women. They became, like, not girly women, but strong women. And that, to me, actually, yeah, that's kind of a thing for me. I kind of like that. Makes me smile.
Fur?
Well, it's similar, although I grew up in slightly less rural than Bass, although you came from the same town, so...
Sort of.
Yeah, less rural by definition of we have more population and more, you know, paved roads?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's tenuous at best. Of all the tomboys I knew, it's pretty much the same. They kind of... I don't want to say it's a phase, because it is very central to who they are. Where in the teens, it might be more of a rebellious act to dress more like the gender normative of a boy or whatever. However, they do grow up to be very strong, independent women, and I'm fine with that.
Well, yeah, well, you know what? They're going to do that because, I mean, they don't care about being pretty when they're young, right? So they just grow up not caring what, you know, what the guys think that's pretty, and they become pretty because they do what they think or they feel is pretty. And that to me makes it beautiful. It's not even pretty, it's beautiful.
Any thoughts, Marty?
Honestly, none whatsoever. I don't know. I guess I've, growing up, sure, I had tomboy friends. I don't know. It's weird because I was never interested in girls, even as a young kid or even my teens. I was like...
Now is it?
No, I like girls.
Okay. You do have a girlfriend.
Yeah, there was a drastic upswing. It was like, oh God, I can make up for time lost.
No,
I'm really into you.
Honestly, I think like in high school, I realized, oh wait, boobies, that's cool. And then I got like, it's funny because everyone asked me, I any high school crushes? No, not really. Like, I was too busy playing video games. So I guess I had tomboy friends. Yeah, they were cool. I was kind of jealous because they were way better at sports than me, and they always got picked first. I was like, God damn it.
I think I'm like Bass in the sense of, I mean, the word tomboy is wrapped in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
What does it really mean? And if a woman presents a what is considered to be a masculine trait, which is a ridiculous notion,
like growing a beard.
Not physically, but...
The thought of a masculine trait. Like
when we say that a woman has confidence, that's a masculine trait.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, that's like, that's our patriarchal fucked up society.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
But, you know, in mysticism and psychology and everything else, they've separated some, the more aggressive parts of us as male function, and then more nurturing aspects as a female function. So, like, I would find a lot of feminine traits in me, and feminine and masculine don't really mean man and woman the way I'm approaching it. So, yes, a woman that's confident, that's an achiever, that doesn't take any fucking crap, that's totally my jam. I've always said that a woman that can break me over her knee, that's sexy.
Wonder Woman.
Would be She-Hulk for me? It would be She-Hulk.
Yeah, She-Hulk.
When I say those words, She-Hulk in a Fantastic Four uniform is the actual image in my mind.
So you have
it's very
like,
specific.
So you're like Kirk. You like green women.
I like the green women.
When you were saying that, you were kind of quivering a bit.
Oh, so, no. You know it's true.
Yeah.
You can't see it, but Mike has a raging hard on right now.
That's my pen.
Oh,
and that's our Big Bang Theory moment where nerds only get hard because they want to look at comic books.
Yeah.
As Dingo.
Whatever works for you, listeners. I like that aspect of it. And so if a tomboy is a little less self-conscious, I think it's one of the elements.
Yeah.
And whatever, and take you on as an equal, if that's what it means, then
hunt you down for sport.
Actually, well, now that you talk about it, I think maybe because I'm younger than you guys, but my version of tomboys were gamer girls.
Yeah.
Girls who play games.
Sure. Yeah.
When we do like LAN parties, we're like, you know, 20 guys, and there's like this one girl, and then she became like this unicorn where a bunch of guys like, oh my god, a girl who plays video games?
I know, right?
Whoa.
And then let's be really rude to her.
Yeah, let's be really rude and make sexist comments.
It's like that thing.
She'll like us then.
You're in a comic book store and there's a woman shopping and then the clerks very often will go, you know, like, you're looking for something for your boyfriend? Yeah. You bastard.
They either do that or all of a sudden all the clerks, they're in a huddle, like they're in a football game, and they don't know how to approach this lady because she has boobs.
They're like bird watchers, and they haven't seen a blue jay in so long. So,
well, I think
the idea of you know, male-centric or male-associated hobbies or activities. Yeah. So, like, for me, I like the attitude, but if, like, a girl is sporty, I just don't know why I would be interested in that person.
Yeah. What I really like about it is it's the I don't give a fuck what you think attitude that tomboys have. And that, for some odd reason, it's really appealing. It's really, I don't know.
they need that attitude, I guess, because probably lots of people are like, ugh.
Yeah, but it's beaten out of them. I mean, poor ladies, it gets beaten out of them, you know, and sometimes they start off not giving a shit about anything, and then, you know, the magazines and ads and everything just beats them over the head with, you know, fake lips.
Is fake lips a thing now?
fake lips?
People get...
I believe so.
Stitched fake lips?
No, it's more like fish lips. There's something about...
Fish lips?
It's something one of those Kardashians does.
Okay.
And
is a Kardashian a type of fish?
It is.
You know what? I would have to ask Mike because he knows about the Kardashians.
How am I
in
the
Star
youngest
Trek?
One?
What? Are they part fish?
I have,
they have the weird kind of vagina thing on the forehead.
Is a Kardashian a... Oh, a Kardashian.
Oh, yeah.
Kardashian. No, it's not a Kardashian.
Are
thing.
They part fish? Part lizard?
Lizard.
Yeah, like,
they're kind of reptilian.
Oh, wait. Kanye West married to Kardashian.
He does love fish dicks. So, you know, it's
okay.
Full circle.
Is this digressing?
regressing. But this is a, first and foremost, a comic book podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So,
Well, it was. We sold out.
Well, I mentioned She-Hulk. You know, I've done my part.
All right, quick. Mike is She-Hulk. What powerful ladies do you like in comics?
Oh, man.
I'm Black Canary. Marty.
Liz Sherman. From Hellboy.
Oh yeah.
She's okay. Awesome. Come on, Fern. Pick one.
Hawk Girl.
Oh, okay.
All right, Hawk Girl's,
yeah.
Very much a tomboy.
Warrior. She'd kick you over the head with her foot, because she's kicking you.
Yep.
She'd kick you over the head with her fist. Good one, Bass.
It's a second language. But to fulfill our promise of comic bookery, we're going to take
a... Comic bookery.
It's also my second language. Now, we're going to listen to a romance comics theater. Ooh. This is a comic story that we pulled out of a young romance issue from DC Comics, a story called That Strange Girl, and it's from 1974.
Oh, wow.
You check if if where they were... In their heads at that point concerning tomboys.
That Liz, she acts just like a boy.
What was there about me that made me different? What set me apart from normal girls? It pains me to tell this story, but if it can help ease the hurt in one girl who, like me, is torn by doubts and mixed emotions, it will be worth all the shame and torment I lived through when I was known as That Strange Girl. As long as I can remember, I had been my daddy's helper. I was the eldest of three girls and the one to do the chores. Mow the lawn, chop the firewood, help with the painting. You know, boys' work.
Be careful, Liz. That ladder's kind of shaky.
Don't worry, Daddy. It's not much of a fall. Dad was a mailman who took odd jobs after his route to make things better for the family. I remember my 16th birthday. I spent it installing a fence for the Brodies. I've got the post holes almost done, Dad.
Good, honey. I'll be with you as soon as I change.
There's Liz Baker. Wonder how she looks in a dress.
You're wasting your time, Fred. Liz isn't interested in boys. You know what I mean?
I feel guilty, Liz. Letting you work like this on your birthday?
I don't mind, Dad. Honestly.
We'll have a party after supper, honey. Mother baked the cake for the occasion.
Then let's get to work and finish up.
My daughter, Liz. Sweet 16. Happy birthday, honey.
Agnes is coming over later, Mother. She's treating me to a movie for my birthday.
Don't you have any interest in boys, Liz?
I knew what Mother was driving at. I had never gone out with a boy, and she was concerned about that. Boys are a drag. Besides, I don't have anything to wear. The next day, Mother went shopping and came home with new dresses, really feminine shoes, and all the other frilly junk girls wear.
The latest styles for smart young ladies, Liz.
Mother, I don't go out. Where do you expect me to wear all this?
Wear it to school, honey.
Oh, come on. I'd feel like...
Like a girl, Liz?
I'll never forget that look on her face. Disappointment. Anger. Fright. Don't be so shook, Mother. A lot of girls wear pants to school. Some girls don't like dresses.
And some girls don't like boys, Liz.
Mother, how could you?
Liz, come back here. Where do you think you're going at this hour?
Don't worry. Nobody's gonna grab me. I'm too unfeminine. I spent the night at Agnes's house. Agnes didn't go out with boys either. but her family was more understanding.
These pajamas should fit you, Liz dear. I like Agnes to have friends over. She's so shy with young people.
Agnes isn't shy once you get to know her. Oh, I wasn't a complete social outcast. I took part in after-school activities, not the sewing or cheerleading that some other girls went for. I liked sports, like the girls' basketball team.
Back to the defense, Liz. Guard your men.
Guard your man? Did you hear that?
That Liz, she's a strange one.
One thing I didn't like about the games, the kids standing around, leering, making snide remarks.
Man, those girls are tough. I wouldn't want to tangle with one of them.
Well, I don't know. Might be fun.
And then there was the time I cut in for a layup and ran into Fred Reese. I was mortified.
Oof.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I hurt you?
Right in the heart.
I've got to get back in the game.
I'll be waiting for you after the game, Liz. You can help me limp home.
You must have hit your head, Fred. She doesn't go for boys.
What are you, a girl expert?
I came out of the locker room shaking with fright. Afraid that Fred would be waiting. Afraid that he wouldn't. That he was just making fun of me.
Here I am, Liz.
Fred, I promised Agnes I'd walk home with her.
Agnes is a big girl. She can walk home by herself. Look, I'm crippled from that collision. You can't let me walk alone.
Well, okay. But I've got to go straight home to help my dad. And so I walked home with him. With a boy. Not in a group this time. Just the two of us.
I saw you work with your father. You look much better in a basketball uniform. You don't talk much. Have you ever been with a boy, Liz?
Not like this.
Like this?
I mean, why are you interested in me, Fred?
Why? Because you're wholesome, real, not like any other girls?
Don't you think I'm strange?
You're different, not giggly and frilly and phony. Liz, have you ever been kissed?
No. He drew me close to him, brought his lips to mine.
Mm.
I reached up and we melted together, tenderly at first, and then firm, forceful. How can I describe that kiss? It was like nothing else in the world. All at once, I was frightened and ashamed. No, don't, Fred, please.
Why not, Liz? Don't you like me?
No, you're making fun of me. You've heard what they say about me.
Liz, the way you kiss me, you can't be... I mean, you have to be normal.
Normal? What do you think I was? Some kind of...
Liz, it was a bad choice of word. I mean, Liz, I think I'm in love with you.
You're a damned liar. I hate you. Get away from me. I was all mixed up inside. Were they right? Was there something wrong with me? I ran home crying, hating them, hating myself.
Liz, what's wrong?
Nothing, Mother. Everything. Please don't make me talk about it.
Darling, have those nasty children been calling you those names again?
It's not that. Mother, do you think that a boy could care for me?
A boy? Liz! Is there a boy?
Honey, you're very pretty. Don't you know that?
That's what I've been telling her.
Fred!
I think you're very special, Liz. Why can't you believe that?
You really mean it, don't you?
I think we'd better go inside, Father.
I love you, Liz.
Oh, Fred, I love you too. I do. I do. I do. I do. I do. Fred was my first boyfriend. I learned from him how to accept affection, how to act with boys. I shall never forget him. If any girl reading my story feels that you're different because you despair of ever learning what it is to be in love, I wish you one thing, that you too can find a boy like Fred.
That Strange Girl from DC Comics' Young Romance number 197, January and February of 1974, with art by Jerry Grandinetti and Craig Flessel. Liz, played by Isabelle Gauguin, her father by Bas Levesque, her mother by Elise Amel, Freddy by Olivier Robichaud, Agnes and her mother by José Robichaud, no relation, additional dialogue by Nathalie Gauguin, Siskoid, and Randy Johnston.
And we're back.
And we're back!
Hooray!
We're back. Bravo, bravo,
bravo,
bravo.
Bravo.
So the story of Liz.
The unnormal girl.
That strange girl.
That was the weirdest part. Normal.
You
You gotta be normal.
And you'll notice that I didn't give a credit for the scripter, because...
We don't know who it is.
Unknown. Unknown and unclaimed.
Is it like a reprint or something? It feels older than 1974.
No, it's... Yeah. That's when it is. Well, at the same time, there is that whole innuendo that she might be gay. That's how it's played all along. No boys in her life, her mom's... She's nagging her.
She's kind of pushy, actually.
Yeah. There's that, and then... Not just liking boys' activities, but, you know, she goes to the girl's house, and then that girl also doesn't have many friends.
But in the comic, she's very girly, though. She's just, like, shy or something.
Agnes, you mean?
Agnes, yeah.
Yeah, but she's also on the basketball team.
Yeah.
And so she's spending all her time with another girl, and then...
Yeah, Agnes is a lesbian, probably.
Maybe.
The tragic story behind that is Agnes.
We don't know.
Loves Liz. You see, that's the tragedy in the story.
Yeah, she loves Liz, but... Liz just isn't a lesbian.
No.
That was happening a lot, actually.
I'm sure. Yeah. And so, in the story, all the other kids at school think of Liz as a lesbian. She doesn't go for boys. And all of that.
Snarky remarks at the basketball game. I mean, it's
yeah.
something.
Guard your man! Classy. But, so obviously, there's that tone to the tomboy
yeah.
that she might be too mannish. Which I don't think is borne out in the drawing, necessarily.
Well, the very first time we actually see Liz, kind of yes, because of those cargo army pants she's wearing.
Those are nice pants.
Yeah. They're also dude pants.
I'd wear those pants.
Exactly. Because what little women's fashion I know is from our female friends is that women's pants don't have pockets. I don't know why.
Yeah, but most of our friends don't wear pants. They always wear sometimes, dresses. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes they do.
You have wonderful friends. They yeah. do not wear pants.
No, not now.
Oh, if only. If only.
It's not that.
It's just that apparently women's fashion pants don't have pockets. Now, they're going to say, well, we have purses, which is like
a portable. Fake pockets. That yeah, blows my mind.
It's just like you can fit in like half a finger.
There's like a pocket ridge, but there's no pocket.
Yeah. See, and that bothers me because if you're going to have the trapping of a pocket, that's just have a pocket.
That's why they have purses. They don't have pockets
yeah,
in their
but
pants.
See, the thing is, I can steal a purse. I can't steal a pocket.
You can steal pants.
It's called pickpocketing.
Yeah. But you still remain with the pocket. You know, if someone tries to steal the purse...
It's harder to pickpocket than the purse snatch.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
So your issue is with the pockets?
Because in the... she's wearing these army khaki pants with the cargo pockets on the side. She basically looks like whenever they draw Professor X in the 90s cartoon where he can walk. She's basically wearing that outfit.
This is the moment where I wish the podcast was in French. Because because the word for pocket and the word for scrotum is the same in French. Yes. Girls don't have pockets.
Look it up. Look right. it up.
That yeah. that kind of works.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, a purse is just a giant scrotum.
Freud is making another appearance in the podcast.
Freud is rolling
he's
in
everywhere.
His grave.
He's spinning in his grave so hard, if we attached a dynamo, we'd solve Earth's energy crisis.
Yeah.
Just go up to his grave every day, go penis, 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 cigar. And then, you know, Europe is powered for a week.
So to get back to answering your original question,
yeah.
I think 1974 is perhaps a good place to a veiled reference to a lesbian in a comic book where we've got the comic book code probably preventing stuff like that.
Yeah, probably.
So by the 70s, we're getting a bit looser. But there's also a sexual revolution in the 70s,
yeah,
in the late 60s,
so.
Early 70s,
yeah.
where well, these kinds of things are...
This is high school, too. High school is like this weird universe. Like, I heard stuff like that, like calling tomboys lesbians when I was in high school.
Right,
that wasn't that long ago. So that's probably still around.
No,
that's
it's
getting kind of long ago now. Marty, you're older.
Yeah, but it was only like, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It was the same in my time.
But we're seeing schools with non-gendered bathrooms, that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Starting to, so gender identity and, like, a tomboy isn't transgender.
No.
By any
no.
means.
I don't even think that a tomboy is kind of a gender identity type issue.
Well, I think it's like it's gender identification.
We are okay, yeah. But so much hot
no,
water
no,
on Tumblr
no, no.
right now.
There's something to it. Who is it? Greg Rucka, who writes comics, who wrote Wonder Woman for a long time, who wrote Checkmate.
Yeah.
Check out our Invasion podcast next week.
Shameless plug.
Rucka's not in it, but it's about Checkmate.
You guys have a podcast without me and Fern?
I know, right? Marty, we should do one.
We should do one.
I have three. Anyway, so
well, and the one you do every year, I don't know if that one counts.
I'm not counting that. I'm counting the French language one.
Oh, but you guys do porn, so that's fine.
Yeah,
me and Mike don't do porn.
We do porn. That's your
thing. Are you insinuating that me and Marty do porn together?
No.
I'm fine with that. You know me. I like to party.
What I was going to say, I read an article that he wrote about how he identifies with... He's not gay. He's not a transgender. He says that he identifies with female emotion or female perception, POV.
So okay.
He'd been asked how he could write Wonder Woman so well. And so he said, well, my feelings, my sort of empathy are feminine. So he identifies with female emotionally, but not sexually.
Okay.
So in that sense... So,
the less correct or the more pejorative term would be effeminate.
Well, no, effeminate is something else.
Okay,
effeminate is having mannerisms.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I
it would be the emotions and the mannerisms as well.
It doesn't have to be.
So
mannerisms.
It's like what Dustin Hoffman learns at the end of Tootsie.
Yeah. Also, that he can actually pull off a sequin dress. Yeah.
I'm Edward Kimberly, and strong enough to be the woman that was the best part of my manhood, the best part of myself.
That is one nutty hospital.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. But that you can approach the world with a feminine viewpoint.
Yeah. And understanding what they...
And better understand women.
Yeah. Right.
Without having a sexual component to it. Without feeling that your identity is compromised by your body or that... or having an attraction for the same sex. That's not part of the equation. It's just about... If you read a letter by a person and tried to identify their sex just by the style and the kind of feelings expressed, then you might say that... Rucka is female.
Okay.
If you didn't know, right?
Okay.
That was his sort of point. I wish I'd have to track it back
down.
I hope
find out by the end of the letter. Well, sincerely, Greg Rucka.
I know that I'm not I hope I'm not misrepresenting his point of view here, but he said something like that. So
don't worry, the internet will tell us.
Yes, probably. And so, getting back to the tomboy, a tomboy is someone who, during a certain phase, or perhaps their entire lives, or whatever, has perhaps a more masculine approach to things or to interests without making them gay or transgender. But kids in school, like Marty says, kids in school.
Oh, well, kids are
you're
assholes.
All in that same box.
Yeah.
They're all kind of, ugh, I hate kids. I mean, they say things just to, how you, anyways. But kids are awful. Teenagers are awful. You guys all smell weird. If there's a teenager listening, go take a shower. When you're done, take another one.
And stop calling people names.
Yeah.
You puke.
Asshole.
You puke? You puke?
But yeah, I think
really?
That was my go-to.
The fact that we're
drop
in high school.
You, chummer.
The fact that it's a high school, it kind of creates this weird ecosystem where it's its own thing.
Yeah, it's got its own pecking order.
Yeah,
I
think so.
Yeah. Theater kids are at the top. Good luck, theater kids.
And of course, there's the high probability that the story is trying to tell us not to give in to any kind of gay impulses. You too must find a boyfriend. You know, make sure you don't stay a tomboy.
I don't think being a tomboy is as relevant now that it was back then, I'm thinking.
Well, now that women wear pants, pocketless or not, now that women wear pants and they've been wearing pants forever, without any kind of stigma, you know, they make and sell pants for women.
I mean, it's clothing.
Nobody cares about that.
Nobody cares.
Although, like we were horsing around earlier, boys that would wear skirts would probably still get teased.
Probably.
Because guys
if you
are
chose
assholes.
To wear, if you chose to wear a skirt, that's not socially acceptable as yet. But pants for girls.
Let's win feminism first, then we'll tackle guys with skirts.
Yeah.
Wait. I don't want to tackle any dude wearing a skirt, okay? Because if I see a dude wearing a skirt...
He's a Highlander.
Exactly.
Can only be one.
He'll throw a log at you or whatever they do.
He probably fought the Pope.
He probably did.
So
it can only be one of those, too.
Oh my God, is the Pope a Highlander?
That's what we were saying earlier, Marty.
That was the reference?
Yes! There can only
I've
be
one
I've
never seen
pope.
The Highlander. I've only
Two
heard
popes
that line.
Enter
oh, you're
one
young.
Pope
you haven't
leaves.
Seen Highlander.
I was born in 90.
Yeah, you're a kid.
And all through the 90s, there was like Highlander TV shows.
There were two Highlander TV shows. One with Adrian Paulo and the other girl that was...
The Raven.
The Raven, yeah.
Were there tomboys in the Highlander?
I think Raven was a tomboy.
She looked like the lady from Eurythmics and walked around with a katana.
Why could there only be one? Why the heck did they get along?
Well, that's how the power works. I don't invent the magic. I just live by it.
But I don't pretend to understand the rules.
That is far easier.
Is the Highlander series worth watching?
The TV series?
The pause.
Okay, no. Only the first film.
The movies are worth watching in a marathon style thing.
I just can't trust you guys. You said Thunderdome was the best Mad Max movie, so I'm like, what?
Hey, for the record, Fern said that. I wouldn't trust Fern.
No, I said that too.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I said it was better than people think.
It is better than people think. Out of the original three, the Road Warriors is the best one.
Thunderdome's terrible.
Thunderdome is the one that, as Mike pointed out, got the most TV airtime and is the one that is most favorably remembered of the first three.
The only good thing about Thunderdome is
Tina Turner,
Dr. Dre, and Tupac having a rap off somewhere in
California. California.
What?
It's the video. It's
is that an 80s thing? I'm confused.
Oh, man. We'll have to.
No, that is West Coast 90s rap.
See, I was like two in the 90s.
Now, is this part of the podcast, or is this the blooper?
Or is this what Mike going to cut out?
Editing Mike can't decide.
Beats out last episode's anal horse dicks and Marty.
Well, now it's out.
Well,
anal horse dicks.
I don't think anyone even mentioned it in the mailbag, but we'll take another break, and then when we come back, we'll address those letters.
The mailbag or the Tom bag?
Oh, come on.
Hi, friends. It's your old pal, Adam Worth. You may remember me from podcasts like Comic Book Fight Club, The Quantum Cast, and the thousands of other shows I somehow get roped into making guest appearances on. The podcasting world has been very good to me, and I feel it's about time that I give back. So coming this spring, I'll be helping to make the world a better place with my new show, The Bad Advice Show. Join me and a few choice panelists as we answer your questions on life, love, relationships, history, life hacks, and politics. Really, whatever topics you feel you would like to get my valued opinion on. So hop on the advice train as we make the world a better place, coming this spring to an internet streaming device near you. To have your questions answered on The Bad Advice Show, send us an email at thebadadviceshow@yahoo.com. That's thebadadviceshow@yahoo.com. And remember, kids, if you want to remain anonymous, don't tell me your name.
Stop and listen! Stop and listen to me! Listen! Listen! Listen to me! They're not human! Everyone! They're here already! Your names!
November 4th, 1988. Earth is invaded by an alien alliance composed of several species, including the Dominators, the Kuns, the Tanagarians, and the Durlans. And they want our superheroes. Even though Australia has been decimated, the United Nations response is unequivocal. Drop dead. First Strike, the Invasion podcast, takes you back to that moment in time and covers the entire Invasion DC Comics crossover. Issue by issue, tie-in by tie-in, join Bass and Siskoid at fireandwaterpodcast.com or on iTunes. First Strike, the Invasion Podcast, a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Remember, Albert.
All right, we're back, and we're doing the mailbag.
Mailbag.
We have mail. Oh, you printed it on fancy paper.
That's
letters that came in from our mail.
Everybody wrote in and then sent the letter to the next guy.
You could
who wrote on the same paper. And then,
wow. Yep. You can send all the mail to P.O. Box Lonely Hearts Podcast at Canada.
It'll get here. That's one of the three
houses. H-O-H-O.
It's next to the igloo.
No, as usual, you can leave comments on fireandwaterpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. Or on our Facebook page for the Fire and Water podcast or the Lonely Hearts podcast.
iTunes?
You can leave comments on iTunes. It's actually doable.
Or you could write a letter and put a stamp in there because we're not buying a stamp because we're going to write you back.
Oh. Yeah, if you write in, we'll write you back for sure.
We'll send you a free comic.
All right, but we're not giving our addresses away.
Only Gambit Comics.
What we'll do is, for this episode, we will make you a free comic about us wearing skirts.
Not giving away my address. Okay. So
I'll give up mine.
So these are mostly about episode 9, the Supergirl special.
Oh, cool.
But there are some leftover ones from the Gothic romance episode. Let me see here. On Twitter, Legal Machine said, so far, much more interested in the ethics behind magical animal human transformation than any romance story. Speaking of Comet.
Right. Would PETA support this?
No.
And Martin Gray said, oh, wow, could I be happier in a weepy way?
We're not here to tell you, Mr. Martin Gray, how to feel.
If you turn into a horse.
We just encourage you, if you want to be happy in a weepy way, you weep the shit out of your happiness.
And you know what? We're men, so you can be happy or angry. That's the only two emotions we know.
Also hungry.
Facebook comments. One left over from episode 8.
Okay.
Clinton Robinson said, another great episode, gentlemen. I was so happy when somebody said it had a Tales from the Crypt twist.
Oh.
I was thinking the same thing, except I used the Twilight Zone. But since you're talking comics, you know, Tales from the Crypt fits better.
True.
And now on to episode 9, Supergirl special.
Did Shag write in?
Or was it his buddy Scoob?
Hey, he just says he likes the concept.
Yeah, Shag just says he loves the concept of guys covering romance comics. Mm-hmm. It's kind of late to say that, partner in Fire and Water podcast. okay, so Zeb Oswalt said, cool podcast as always. Geez, first Harry Potter dates a horse and now Supergirl. Oi. Hope this never makes the TV show. I disagree.
Yeah, I do too. I'd like to see Comet in the show.
Sounds like y'all had fun. Can't wait to hear the next one. Mm-hmm. On the blog, Chris Franklin said, great episodes, fellas. You guys actually showed tremendous restraint during the Supergirl Comet story segment.
No, we didn't.
No, we cut out something.
I fully expected a whole lot of not-safe-for-word discussion on burgeoning womanhood and bestiality, which I kind of got in the blooper segment anyway.
Oh,
someone did mention my anal song.
The question remains, were Silver Age comics creators a bunch of dirty old men, or were they completely oblivious to the now glaring subversive overtones of stories like this? I can't decide.
My answer is yes.
My answer is drugs.
I think it's both.
Yes.
The Supergirl TV series is appointment viewing at the Franklin household with the whole family watching together. The show has really come along after a great pilot and some truly clunky follow-up episodes.
True.
Not sure I see many triangles outside of the obvious Kara-James-Wynn triangle. I think Jean Hank is more of a surrogate father figure to both Alex and Kara, especially given his tragic backstory.
Yeah.
But I was trying to have fun. The Alex Max Lord angle may turn up again. I couldn't stand Cat Grant at first, but she's grown on me. Mm. I'm tempted to withdraw my acting talents from romance comics theater because Siskoid doesn't like my beloved Superman the movie. You broke my heart, Siskoid.
Well, I loved it. I have it. I own it twice.
Twice?
Twice. I have two copies of Superman the movie.
I don't think I've seen Superman
the movie.
It's just
so that
you
can watch it in two different rooms at the same time.
Holy shit, Marty. That's worse than me.
I don't think I've seen Superman the movie.
I've seen it several times.
I've seen the one with Nuclear Man.
That's the fourth horrible.
That's like saying I didn't see a Batman movie. I only saw Batman and Robin. What?
I did see Batman and Robin.
That's horrible. That's horrible. You had a horrible
in
childhood.
In theaters, I was like 7. I was like, yeah.
Oh, horrible childhood.
Marty was like, yes, a huge skates. Pink gorilla? Yes.
Let's be clear. I don't hate Superman. I'm just not a big fan of it.
That's fine.
Okay, that's fine.
I like it. That's fine.
I like it fine.
That's like me with
I like it fine.
Batman Begins.
Is that the one that time travels?
That's like me with
the first
They've all got time travel, I think.
Yeah.
The Nuclear Man one doesn't.
No?
No, he just beats him.
It does. Superman shoots the destroyed Wall of China with his eyes. And it rebuilds the wall. That's time travel vision.
He rebuilds the wall with laser eyes.
Because they put that in as, you know, because he'd already spun the world backwards and undone all the damage in the first one. So now, obviously, he must have time travel.
He has time travel vision.
Beams.
Well, he also had pocket symbol and.
Pocket symbol
was the
swirl symbol?
The
pocket symbol?
The batarang symbol?
That sounds like pocket sand.
Well, everybody likes. The Zod episode, I call them episodes, Superman 2.
Yeah.
And you don't remember he throws his symbol they get shrink-wrapped?
He takes his S-shield off his chest, and he throws it, and it entangles the bad guys.
It's almost like they're caught in a huge slice of fruit
And he catches them?
Yeah, it's like a fruit roll-up.
He wins?
Well, yeah, they went on to make Superman 3 and 4. He wins.
No, wait, Zod's stuck in the symbol, and Superman's like, yay, I've won.
No, it's not his finisher. I mean, he's...
It's not his finisher.
The finisher is putting him in a Phantom Zone mirror.
So what, the shield bubble doesn't do anything?
Well, it catches him for a minute.
Okay, Marty.
For a minute.
Marty, Okay, he goes over. Let me put this in.
Voltron doesn't go sword first thing. I mean,
He should. It fucking wins every time. Let me put this in terms you can understand, Marty. His S shield is basically a stun that he can then turn into a grab, then put on the finish.
It was the first of a combo type thing.
Yeah. It's in combo opener, leaves the character stunned for about 14 frames of animation.
But in episode 5 or 4, he fights a guy on the moon.
That's 4.
And they're going slow. That's the part I don't get.
They're slow
on the moon.
And he talks in space.
Well, Superman can talk anywhere. He's Superman.
And he can gift that power to Lana Lang.
Yeah.
In orbit. Apparently, that's why that movie sucked.
It's my favorite Superman movie so far I've seen.
It's the only one I've seen.
That one in Man of Steel.
Wait, you haven't seen the one with Richard Pryor?
That's Superman
3. Richard Pryor's Superman movie?
Yes.
Yes.
He plays Superman?
No.
Oh, my God.
No, he plays a hacker.
Wait a minute. Richard Pryor plays
Richard
a hacker.
Richard Pryor actually plays a hacker.
Richard Pryor is the main character in Superman 3.
Yeah.
Superman is not the main character.
If I was to Richard give him like a superhero or supervillain persona, he'd be like the Calculator.
See, my movie viewing's weird because I've not seen the original Superman movies, but I've seen the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And that one's actually good.
You know what? The Thing and Doctor Doom costumes in that one
look better
than the Tim Story version.
Yeah.
Sorry I broke your heart, Chris Franklin. Ryan Daly said,
"You don't sound sorry at all." I'll watch it and we'll get back to you.
Ryan Daly said, "I used to think the Petting Zoo was the greatest name for a strip club ever, but Oil City is totally better."
I'm partial to the Cheesecake Factory.
And then we have Rob Kelly.
I always like the manhole.
From Film and Water, among others. He says, "I always thought it was interesting that the only DCU comics advertised in the romance line were Wonder Woman's and Supergirl's." Hmm. Clearly, they knew their audience and who bought what.
Well, there was a lot of romance with Black Canary and Green Arrow for a while, but it was in a Green Arrow comic.
Yeah.
Oh, so the comics too? I thought that was just like in the show.
No, it was in the comic too.
Oh.
Yeah. They were married, actually.
It was a terrible marriage.
Terrible.
I won't bring up the idea of romance comics coming back again because Siskoid made fun of me for doing so this episode. Words hurt. Great acting in romance comics theater, especially the guy at the end. Chris Franklin came back in to say, "I think Ryan may be up for a role in The Revenant 2. Because he played the bear in that theater. We've got Ange, the Supergirl expert, who asked us to do that episode.
Right. Oh, now we're nervous.
That's a long comment.
Yeah,
you left
a novel.
Oh, no.
It starts this way. Chapter 1. Great episode covering one of the more potentially lurid corners of Supergirl history. I have to say you feel for Byron. That was Comet's original name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's a centaur. He gets promised a potion that will turn him into a man, but he drinks the wrong glass. Something Shakespearean about that. Now a horse, he is granted immortality and powers. He unfortunately gets stuck in a literal comet and is marooned in deep space until a rocket nudges the comet, releasing him. That rocket? Kara Zor-El's, as she was headed for Earth. Oh. I guess they really are star-crossed lovers.
They are.
A girl-horse romance is obviously subversive, but maybe they were simpler times? Comet was a playa. He actually wooed Lois Lane in his human form in Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane number 92, and she fell for him hard.
Despite the comic being named Superman's girlfriend Lois Lane.
Yeah. He divulges his secret to Lois, but makes her vow that she won't share it, and then returns to horse form. I suppose she got back in the saddle and chased Superman after that. Boom, boom. Comet was redefined in the Peter David Supergirl run as the Earth Angel of Love. His horse form was more of a biped, equine-like human. But his human form, well, maybe I should say her human form, was Andy Jones, a lesbian who became male when she changed. This change happened at will and was not bound to comets or other celestial bodies. There is a ton more to cover for Supergirl romances if you ever want to revisit Dick Malvern, Jero, Brainiac 5, the creepy cameraman dude in San Francisco, even Buzz the Demon, also in David's run. Anyways, great discussion. Always love hearing fresh takes on the wonkier side of Kara's history.
Buzz the Demon? That's like the first name of a character who's in fucking Leave It to Beaver. Wally the Beave and Buzz the Demon.
Home Alone, his brother's named Buzz.
It's the name of some fat idiot goon.
Buzz Aldrin went on the moon.
Yeah.
Don't sully the name Buzz.
Yeah, yeah. Buzz is
any iconic name that went on the moon's good.
It's all good.
They're moon names.
Not now. Name
moon names.
Name three other people who landed on the moon now.
Superman, Nuclear Man,
and the villain from the Doom Patrol,
Gargax.
Was it one of the Transformers movies?
Yes.
Yeah.
About Transformers on the moon.
Something Spark of the Dark or whatever.
See, I haven't seen those.
I have.
Why?
I had Leonard Nimoy in it. Shut up.
Just because you don't need an excuse to drink for it. You can just drink.
You know what? I tried that. Just drinking, kind of boring. Just drinking and having a rage poop because of Michael Bay's Transformers makes it worthwhile.
It is a laxative.
Oh, Martin Gray says, sorry, Martin, that was the preface to your comment. Martin says, lovely show, and yes, I say they were more innocent times. Young girls loved their horses and ponies. So why not a horse a girl could literally love? It didn't seem dirty to me as a kid, just magical.
Yeah.
Not that I wanted her to get together with Byron Comet Bill. I was always a Dick Wilson Malvern booster. I even bought Paul Kupperberg's book of unseen, daring new adventures of Supergirl / new adventures of Superboy scripts to learn what happened after he showed up unannounced at her Chicago flat and she took off in a huff. Recommended. Amazing work with the Romance Comics Theater this time. I'd love a whole extended story by you nutters.
Wait, we have to write the sequel now?
He means an extended story would be we'd do a whole...
Oh, okay.
Like a 22-page comic story.
We'd need commercials in there.
We can do the commercials about the Raquel Welch pillow.
Oh, yes. Bring it back.
Martin, don't give them ideas. Thanks. Scientist going. Okay. And then we just got some Facebook likes and shares from Isabel Godin, Chris Franklin, Clinton Robinson, Abel Padilla, Tim Wallace, Gene Hendricks, Ryan Daly, Luke Dobbs, Al Sedano, Nicholas Brom, Corey Hodgson, Lucas Garrett, Shag Matthews, Coffin Comics Blog, Marcel Richard, Robert Ward, Sam Lowe, Max Romero, Nathaniel Wayne, Mike Arsenault, Dave Mack, Joseph Brian Scott, and Zeb Oswald, with Twitter retweets and favorites from Count Druncula, Coffin Comics Blog, Film and Water Podcast, Illegal Machine, Super Heroines, Luke Dobwalker, Nookie Couples App, I think you're just trying to sell your product, The Hammer Strikes, and Jason Pickering.
See, this is sad for
me.
Oh,
we didn't get any Google Plus
likes and shares.
Google Plus, there's a header, and there's just nothing.
But you know what? Half the time, I forget to also share it on Google Plus.
Yeah, because we forget Google Plus exists.
Yeah. I don't call it a Google Plus account.
Better than like Facebook or anything else, but nobody uses it.
I don't call it a Google Plus account. I call it my YouTube account. Because that's what it is when it all got merged together.
Well, I'm saying goodbye for the group, but the group can also say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Later, guys.
See ya.
Love you.
Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers. Bless them all.
Should I spike when I talk in English with my broken French accent?
You don't spike in English.
Tabarnak.
But parle en français?
Français, je sais pas. Moi, je pense en rien.
Okay.
Faut juste pas que j'aille comme, hey, j'ai une électricité! Check mes blue bars.
So, no ring rates on the show. Okay.